Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. You're here live on Looking Speaks. We finally made it here with you for another fantastic Sunday. Everything seems to be working properly today. And I'm loving every minute of it. We have a very interesting topic today. We're going to be talking about Abraham. And we're going to be talking about health. And number one thing that we always talk about is love. Because that's a big problem for us. I think one of our biggest problems is that we literally don't know how to love each other. And that's a problem. Because if we don't love each other, we'll never be able to actually work together and do things and have things together, you know? So I think it's important that we talk about and discuss love, how to love each other, how to take care of each other, what to do for each other, you know? And we don't really spend enough time on the subject. I dedicated the whole show to our love at one time, but it's more to it than that. Yeah, but excuse me, it's been a long weekend for me, and at least we're back on the air, live and in living color, doing things like we're supposed to do, as a friend of mine say, feeling like a real man should, whatever that means. But I want to get into the gist of things, and mostly I want to talk about love for a minute. Like I say, that's so important. Excuse me for a second. Okay, there we go. I had my little heat breath, so we had to turn it down a little bit, but we're okay now. So let's talk about love. Love is an act that makes us feel good, okay? Why is that so important? Why is it important to know what love is? You can walk up to 10 people, ask anyone what they think love is, and you'll get 10 different answers. But they don't seem to know, because this culture don't want you to know what love is. Because there's two cultures on the planet. You know, I know we think culture is how you dance and how you jumping around and how we sing in and play music with each other. That's not your culture. Those are the distractions that they have that the leadership has to keep you occupied. So they do all kinds of crazy stuff with your money, and you don't know what's going on, okay? And there's just two cultures. There's the dog-eat-dog culture, and there's the reap-what-you-sow culture, okay? Now, the reap-what-you-sow culture brings about honesty, reciprocity, brings about goodwill towards men and women, you know? Because you don't do anything that you don't want to come back to you, you know? Well, some people are crazy. They don't care if crazy stuff comes back to them. They say, well, my turn, come home and go out gracefully, you know? I mean, that's kind of weird. That's the way we're thinking, you know? That's more related to the dog-eat-dog culture, you know? Now, under the dog-eat-dog culture, it's dog-eat-dog. If you got it and I want it and you can't protect it, I'm coming to get it. That's the dog-eat-dog culture. They take what they want. And they build up their security to the point that after they take it from you, you can't come back and get it. If you really want a brief understanding of how it works, go check with the Native Americans. Yeah. They had it all. Pristine, it was living in paradise. And the people from the doggy dog culture, they just came and took it. And because they wasn't a warlike people, you know. So they just came and took it. And they built up their security so tough that it'd be hard for the Native Americans to actually get it back without killing a few million people. You know, that's how they got it set up. And the question is it worth killing millions of people over what they've taken from you? Well, that requires some thought, you know, because millions of people died. And we're dealing with the reap what you sow culture, you know. Sometimes you want to make them pay for their crimes, you know. So this is why it's important to know what culture that you're living under and for others to know what culture that you're living under so that you can have and live a better life, better than what's been going on, you know. Okay, we're having a problem with Quintana jumped in. I think she has something to say, but I think I clicked off. So this is why I like to start off the show dealing with love, because love is so important. It's been a long week. I shouldn't be as tired as I am, but I am. Yeah, so love is an act to make others feel good. If you're going to do something that you think might not make the other person feel good, don't do it. Don't commit the act. Because your heart has a neural net, right? Your heart has a neural net that that remembers and connects to the brain, and it remembers exactly what's going on, remembers what you're doing, what you're not doing. And the heart gives out hormones so that you can so that if you get a bad feeling or a bad taste in your mouth, sometimes they call it, when those hormones kick in based on what you've done to the person and how they feel about you and what's happening. And they actually don't want to be bothered with you, don't want to have nothing to do with you, you know? And that's not a good deal either. We want to get people, we want people to have a good feeling about who we are and what's going on, you know? Now, I typed in Abraham as the lead topic today because actually, I suppose I should have asked the question. Where did Abraham get his army from to rescue Lot? That was actually the question. I should have typed that in. But we don't. So I just typed Abraham in so that I can talk about Abraham. Speak a little bit about what's going on and why we're not perceiving the Bible the way we should be perceiving it, you know? I tell people in a minute, I'm a Bible thumper because I know how to read the book. I know what it says. I know what it means. And I can literally interpret what's going on based on where we are, what we're doing, you know? So let's get into Abraham a little bit. Then we're going to go off into health and talk about eating and how we should be eating and what we should be eating, you know, if we're going to spend time on the planet in a healthy manner. Boy, like I said, it's been a long weekend, so you have to forgive me or excuse me with the yawning and everything, but it's been a long weekend. And so I also like to thank those who are calling in to check up on me and see what's going on. I appreciate it. So far, they've been showing me a lot of love out here, and I appreciate that, you know. So, here's Abraham left from Judea with his wife and his nephew. And they embarked on this journey. It's all in the book. They embarked on this journey. And they traveled and went through a lot of things together, you know. And for some reason, Lot was captured by another city. Now, he took an army to go rescue his nephew. Now, the question is, where did the army come from? See? Now, as you read the story, the two groups got to be so many that they had to split because of the food and other things that was going on dealing with the two groups. So as a soldier, now you got to remember that Lot had two children, okay? One was by his wife and one was by his maiden, him and Sarah. So those two children and the women that were around them had enough children to make an army. That's where his army came from. His army comes from the family development, making babies, making children. That's Mary bringing them children in, you know? This is where Lot got his army from. Now, there is a portion in the book where it says that he was going to sacrifice one of his children on the altar. Now, think about that for a minute. And the guy came down and told him, "Oh, no, you don't have to do that. We cold, we brown." I'm speaking. I'm just talking there. I'm not speaking, you know, I'm not quoting. I'm just speaking in a little slang dialect here, you know. So the thing about that particular key that we don't understand is that the sacrificing of children on the altar, that was dealing with sending your children off to war for God. Now, God let us know, let Abraham know, well, you didn't have to do that. I can fight the battles without your children. See, this is the message that God was giving to Abraham. You know what I'm saying? Now, we don't perceive this because nobody teaches us how to read the book. But you send your children off to war to fight for God. No, I don't send my children off to war to fight for God. And I remember the book says that you are all gods. I tell you that you're gods. And there's gods that are running the planet, that are running things. They're called the 1%. These gods, everybody's a god. But these particular gods are running things. And you're sacrificing your children on the altar to perpetuate what their agenda is. Because you don't have any control over the 1% agenda at all. At all. Okay? They might make you feel a little better when you go out here and you vote for this politician or that politician whom the 1% control. So everybody that you're voting for, 1%, controls these people. And through the laws and the things they've set up over the years, they maintain control over these politicians, you know? So you think that you're achieving, you're not. You're actually sacrificing your children on an altar for a God that don't care nothing about you, man. You know? The 1%, the only thing they care about is their bottom line. And if you affect that bottom line, they will kill you and your whole family. You know? They make movies about how to do it. They tell you how to do it all the time, you know? And if you want to get a glimpse of how the criminal war really works, they have a thing on Netflix called The Blacklist. Now, go and check that out. Watch a few episodes of that. It'll show you how the criminal war works and how the government is actually being run by the criminals, not by the honest people. It's hard to get honest people out of government because of the fight that you have to go through just to get into government. You know what I'm saying? Now, all this is coming from the teachings of Abraham. Wait a minute. What brings on these thoughts when you deal with Abraham, the teachings of Abraham? See what I'm saying? Abraham set up a whole society out there, a society big enough where he had an army to go attack a city to get his nephew back. Okay? So there's a lot going on in the book that we don't think about. And they don't want you to think about things in the book a certain way because if you do, it will create a problem for the 1%. The main thing that they don't want you to think about, they don't want you to know who you are. That's why I taught on this black woman whom I love in the Bible that they call Mary. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Don't get mad at me. You know what I mean? I didn't tell you that her child had a skin the color of burnt brass. It's in the book. just mad at the book. Don't get mad at me. But I'm just saying, you know, that's why I told on Mary, so that you know exactly what's going on, you know. There is a light that comes into the mother's womb, all right, that activates the flesh, all right. You can literally see it. This is 2020. And that light that comes into the mother's womb to activate the flesh, that's called Christ. I'm telling you, that's called Christ. And this has been known for thousands of years, okay? Because if you check out the mustabas and stuff that the Egyptians were being buried in, all of them had the term Christ written on their tombs. They didn't spell it C-H-R-I-S-T, they spelled it K-R-S-T. So they knew about Christ being the light of the world thousands of years before Jesus was born, before Haru and Isis, and for all of them came into existence. They knew about all of his stuff, okay? They knew about this when Egypt was just a swamp. That's how far back this goes, okay? Back when half of so-called Africa was Sudanese and the other half, well, on the map, but don't mention the name of the other half, but half of it was all Sudan, half of Africa, straight across the board. A lot of them little countries weren't there. They were just all Sudan and Sudanese. But this is another history that don't get you into, because they don't want you to know how powerful you are as an individual. Because once you act, once you get your individual strength going, okay, and then you come together as a group, all that individual inner power, you're a force to be reckoned with. And it'd be very difficult for anything to stop you. But what we fail to do as we begin to grow in consciousness, you know, what we fail to do was realize that there's two cultures. Read what you sow culture and a dog-eat-dog culture. The reap what you sow culture, they're not, that's not a warlike culture. Although if you mess with them, they will get with you. But it's not a warlike culture. The dog eat dog culture, that's a warlike culture. Now, the culture that we're in now, that's a dog eat dog culture. Now, what the reap what you sow people are supposed to do, as they're developing all the higher consciousness where they don't want to kill and murder and all that stuff, they have to also develop the military. All right, so that the dog-eat-dog people, when they come and see all the wealth and everything that you have, they can't take what you have. And that was the problem, you know. We build up all this here wealth as individuals, but we forget that the dog-eat-dog people are coming. They want to take what you got, period. If you ain't got nothing to prepare, if you don't have nothing to prepare and to protect it, they will come and take it, okay? This is one of the reasons why family is so important, you know? I look at my daughters and my sons, and, you know, as they're having children, I consider myself blessed. Because some women's job is just to make sure that the tribe is in an expanding mode, you know? All women ain't made to be doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs. Some of them are made to build the family. And it's so wonderful, especially when the daughters have four and five and six children. It's just, that's a blessing for the father and the mother who started the tribe. It's a blessing for them because that will increase the tribe to the point that the tribe will become powerful, you know? I know everybody wants their children to be doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs, but every child ain't built like that. And that's not every child's calling, you know? So, you have to think about the big picture. You have to think about what's going on, you know? And love those children, regardless of where their journey goes. You have to love those children. and spend time building as a family. And it's part of the problem with older folks. You know, I'm part of the older folks. What can I tell you? We didn't build the children. We didn't build our family as a tribe, we didn't think of our family as a tribe. You know, we thought about it like the way the 1% wanted us to think about it, as a family. You know, and the Italians are telling you all the time on TV, if you watch their shows, the family is the economic structure that you have to take care of your tribe. So we're supposed to have an economic structure in place to take care of the tribe, to take care of the children and the entire diaspora. Some of these families out here, some of these tribes are huge. You got some tribes, if they connect the dots all over the country, they have a tribe big enough to fill up a state. That's how many of them it is. But they don't know who they are. They don't know what's going on. They don't work together collectively because they're not thinking in terms of, this is my tribe. When you think of the people you marry, see what I'm saying? That expands your tribe. When you think of the people that your children marry, that expands your tribe. When we say, well, Abraham, which is him, his wife, and his nephew Lot, started on a journey. And they grew to such an extent that he had an army to go and attack a city to rescue his nephew. You know what I'm saying? That's when you take care of, when you take care of your tribe, when you make a family, so that your tribe can prosper and your tribe can grow. It should get to come to the point that, if you're handling your tribe properly, right, all of your children should be working for you. They shouldn't be out looking for another job. They should be working for you in the family business. If you watch the soap operas, I don't know how many of us watch the soap operas. A lot of us used to watch soap operas. But in the soap operas, most of the people that were in authority in the soap operas, they had huge family businesses. And the children were arguing over who's going to control the family business. That's what they were fighting about. You know what I mean? While you and they are arguing about who won the Super Bowl, you know what I mean? They weren't about the family business. So we have a lot to learn from just thinking about what's going on with certain characters in the book. But as a friend of mine said all the time, The 1% wants to make sure that you're not aware of certain things, because once you become aware, especially of who you are, especially when you realize, based on the information I dropped about Mary, especially when you realize that every child born is born of the Immaculate Conception, and then when the child is born, it's a cosmic event. It's not just no baby coming out. Said, dip down, thank you, ma'am. It's a cosmic event when every child is born. This is what they don't want you to understand, the story about Mary, so that you'll know how important that female is. She is so important, because she is able to carry a Christ in her womb and bring that Christ into the light. I mean, you just got to think about that. And we don't respect women as Mary because of the way they're teaching us. They're teaching us, well, there's only one Mary, there's only one Christ. But that system represented all women. All children are being represented by the story of Mary and Christ. So when you think about Abraham and where he got his army from, okay, you have to think about how he took care of Mary, how he took care of the females in the tribe. And if you go back in the day, the female, she was always exalted in the tribe, always, you know. In fact, in some instances, the system was matriarchy, okay? The women ran everything, you know. Men did what they had to do, but the women was actually in charge of governing the tribe, running the tribe. you got to realize how powerful that female is, and that's part of our problem. So if we don't know who we are, we don't know how powerful the females are, and we don't know how special they are and what's going on, because they do everything to take our attention away from the real thing that's actually going on. You know, just like with the oracle. If you look up in the dictionary for the word oracle, they'll take you to what's called the Oracle of Delphi. Try to relate it to one person. But it's not, the oracle is not a person, okay? The oracle is a dimension between the mind and the brain. That's right, the brain and the mind are two separate things. They don't want you to know how to get that energy flowing from one to the other when you're having a problem. If you notice back in the day, back in Africa, there wasn't a lot of places where they had crazy people, because they knew what to do to fix the problems of the insane. The oracle needed to be adjusted. They don't know anything about an oracle. You can go sit in front of psychiatrists all day long. They'll never mention an oracle to you at all, because they don't know that they don't know about that dimension. And they don't know that sometimes when that dimension is not functioning properly based on your synaptic nerve development, because if it's putting out too much information from your mind, the mind is connected to the entire cosmos. They're just now learning that that the DNA strands are actually recording devices. The scientists are just not learning this. Okay, just one strand of DNA can hold all the information in the Library of Congress. That's how powerful you are. Once you learn how to activate everything and get everything working for you, you will be amazed at what you can come up with. Then you can understand why the brother memorized the blueprints for the White House and built the thing by memory when the French guy ran off. You know, you know, you understand the brain power. A guy like Colonel Gregory, when he put together the space capsule, which was the most sophisticated piece of machinery in the country at the time. This was in the 80s, you know. You begin to understand why you have so much power flowing through you, because you know how everything works. You know how pituitary, the pineal gland, and the kundalini works to bring that chi into your meridians of the body. I'm just dropping the information. You're going to look all this stuff up. It's there. We ain't been looking it up because, like a friend of mine says all the time, every week, we're just not aware that it's there. We're just not aware of what's going on, you know? Most of the people in the insane asylum, if they do things to adjust the oracle, right, based on the synaptic nerve growth, the people, their minds and brain will balance and they won't be crazy no more. You know, instead of pumping medicine in everybody just to make them docile so they can't do anything but sit there and go, you know, it's really insanity the way they're doing everything, but it's basically their lack of knowledge. I can't say they don't know, because they have a tendency to hold information back from the regular population. So we don't actually know if they know or not, you know? Or what we do know is they're not sharing it with you. They're not giving you this information. I'm talking about the 1%. They come in all colors. So I'm not into this white, black, green bashing thing. I don't care what country you go in, the 1% is there. You know what I mean? From the darkest person to the lightest person, they have 1% people there governing and running your lives, okay? Living in these palaces, driving around these big old yachts and everything, and people sleeping on the street starving, okay? This is your 1%. That's how much they care about you. You know, you follow what I'm saying? And the homelessness, and it's getting worse and worse. And here's Trump giving a tax break to all the rich people who don't need the money, you know, and then he's sucking the money out of the poor, and every color is affected by the decisions that the administration is making. You know, now I think I might be going on subject here a little bit, but we're coming up on halfway through the hour. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a little break here, and but all the stuff that I mentioned, okay, the information's out there. Google has made information available. You just have to look for it, okay? But it's there, you know. what I like to do is take a minute. This is I am Brother Elohim, okay? And this is Elohim Speaks Sunday. We're here. Everything's working pretty good today. So if you have a question or comment, you want to say anything, or you want to talk about your organization or business or something, you can just press 1 on your dial, and I'll open up your mic, and you can make your comment or say anything that you want. Now, I'm a Bible thumper, but I do not debate the book. So if you have a comment, we'll listen to your comment so other people can hear whether you agree or disagree. That's fine, you know, because we are not going to be on the same page. Sometimes we just have to agree to disagree. But if you want your opinion out, you can, you know, just press 1. I won't mention your name unless you want me to. I just give the last 4 digits of your phone number, okay? This is the Elohim Radio Show every Sunday from 7 to 8 p.m. Philadelphia, U.S. time. The call-in number is 516-453-9230. Press 1 if you want to give us a shout-out. Now, like I said, we don't mention your name unless you want us to. We only use the last 4 digits of your phone number. I'm going to go through this pretty fast because there's quite a bit of this is quite a bit of commercial. You know, we have a lot of people that's doing things to support and each other and help the people out. So I just give them a shout out. Don't charge for the commercials, okay? We have released our first gospel CD, 911 Jesus Emergency. Jesus is coming. The link is CD Baby, CD Elohim Christ 2. That's the number 2. So check it out. You can also catch me on YouTube. Just click the Elohim Christ 10 tracks. Jesus is coming. Ask ourselves, when Jesus comes back, where is he coming from? We think he's coming from the same place he came from the first time, out of the goddess's womb. So you sisters out there, be mindful of what you're dumping. The child you keep just might be the one to get us out of this mess we're in. So don't take our chance from us. We need those babies, okay? Don't forget to check out my book, Toronto Scriptures, Part 2, The Christ Has Come. For more information on the CD or the book, call TCCA at 215-758-1730 from 9 to 5. Also, I'm in the new business. I'm in the gold business. I deal with carry bars. If you want to find out more about how to buy and sell gold, just give me a call. Once again, at 215-758-1703 from 9 to 5. And I will take your call. If not, leave a message, and I will get back to you as soon as possible. I would like to give a shout out to Horace Butler for his Black History book, The Rocks Cry Out. I like him because he understands history and helps fill in the missing pieces. I have a hand up. As soon as I run a commercial, I'll come right to you, okay? Legacy of a Nation show hosted by Brother Mac and Son comes on every Saturday from 6 p.m. Eastern. They talk about Black history, health, economics, and politics. The call-in number is 319-527-6199. I'd like to give a shout-out also to Sunset52. He's on every morning at 6 a.m. and every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Call-in number is the same, 319-427-6199. I would like to give a shout-out to Sister Tammy. She's on YouTube she's on YouTube under the name Kamitra 11. She has a spoken word just for you, and the spoken words are pretty good. I like her show. I'd like to give a shout out to the Nikki Love Show. She's a spiritual advisor. She comes on every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 10:30 p.m. The call-in number for her show is 347-215-8040. You can also get her website at Nikki Love Woonam. That's Woonam, W-N-O-M, Nikki Love. com. I'd like to give a shout out to Division 121 of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Our year at ACL 1918-1929 of the world. There was a meeting. We have meetings every week. For more information, contact President Mark P. of the UNA at 267-822-2320, 267-300-7143, or you can contact Elohim. I am a part of the UNA. I am a Garveyite. What can I tell you? That number would be 215-758-1703. 9 to 5. Now they got RBG Industries. They make designer clothes, buttons, and flags. So if you want a good tailor-made outfit, call RBG Industries at 609-628-5828. We're also giving a Unity Festival the first Saturday in April. That will be on the 4th. It's going to be hosted by UNIA, Abraham Five Tribes, UAIA, Sophomore Electronics, Taylor Tots Learning Academy. And there's going to be others. We'll mention some others next week for who's going to be hosting the show. I would like to give a shout-out to Thomas Thornton, who writes under the name of Yesterday's Child. He has 7 CDs on the market. He writes under old-school style. And if you want to find out more about him, just give him a call at 267-259-4077. I'm going through this pretty fast. If you want me to go back on anything, just hit 1. I go back and give you a number, something that you missed. I'd like to give a shout-out to Taylor Tots Learning Academy, LLC, licensed certified. She's the resident of those who is currently in medical school and will soon be a doctor. Taylor Tots has before and after school service in the West Philadelphia area. So for the best quality children's service, call 610-628-8352 from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, okay? The our email address is taylortotslearningacademy@gmail.com. Instagram is taylor_tots_LA, okay? I'd like to also give a shout-out to our resident naturopathic healers and doctors. Dr. Paul, his number is 215-779-7355. Dr. Bill, his number is 561-561-3864. They've been working in the community for a long time. They're helping people whether they have money or not. You know, that's why I love these two guys. So if you're sick and you're not calling one of these two guys, you deserve to have what you know. Nobody really deserves to be sick. So just give them a call and don't worry. Be healthy, okay? Now, what I'm going to do, now that that's done, I'm going to go to my brother who's got his hand up over here and let's see if everything's working okay. Mine's still there, so that's good. Okay. 1927, you're live and in living color. What's going on out there, brother?
Good evening, brother. This is Brother Mac, and I have a question regarding the tribal structure that you mentioned. I never looked at the beginning of a family as the beginning of a tribe, and the way that you put it gives a completely different perspective, and you struck home when you pointed out that not all of the children should be expected to meet your expectations or the expectations coming from the parents. But on a personal level, of my 14 children, there's one that just did not seem to be interested in anything except producing children. And I couldn't get her to finish high school, and she did make a couple of attempts to go into programs that were funded after she dropped out, but she wouldn't finish them either. But what she has succeeded in doing is having 5 babies of her own, it produced a sadness in me, and I kind of felt felt the Marvin Gaye syndrome when he said, makes me want to holler and throw up both my hands. you give me a different perspective in that you point out that it just could be that some of those children that she's producing may be the one. And I'll be able to look differently at the situation that I have not been very 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 happy with. I think I'll be able to look at it now with a different perspective. And I want to thank you for that.
Well, she, one of her children might be the one to save the whole world. And then she's there with her job. Mary knew what she was doing. You might not know, but Mary knew. I'm bringing this immaculate child in, and whether you like it or not, this child has got a mission. And I'm bringing them in to save the planet. You know? And it's a wonderful thing when girls decide to have those children like that, you know? Sometimes, even without support, they don't care. They know that this is what their calling is. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I tried everything else, but the best thing I can do for this planet is to bring these wonderful children into existence, you know? And there's no better gift to the parent than those grandbabies, you know? There's no better gift that a child can give to the parent than to bring something forth in their image. Holy smoke. The child I was anticipating being in the medical industry got old. She got five children, and the child that I was thinking about gonna have a baby, she was going to be a doctor. I was saying, well, you know, what are you going to do? So we just have to let the universe take its course and do what it's supposed to be. But I'm glad you. How about supporting that tribe, the extension of your tribe? You know what I mean? Economics, your family, economic structure to take care of the tribe, you know? And with your brain power, you can come up with enough to take care of four or five tribes. What can I tell you? So it's really good that you're accepting things for what they are and what they're going to be, because we want to predict and control the future, but we don't really, you know. We just have to be a part of what's coming and make sure that we're doing our part, you know, and what we can do and how we can do it and stuff like that there, and all that makes a difference, you know. Now, that brings us into the next segment that we're supposed to be dealing with. Now, when I talked about Abraham, and the question was, where did he get his army from to go save Lot? Because the armies is coming through Mary, you know. The armies is coming through the family, through the tribe, through the family, because they can't eat unless they have some type of family to provide the food, clothing, shelter, and security for them, you know. So the next part is health. We're going to get a little bit into health here, you know. And I'm a Bible thumper, so I'm going to take you right back. And Mac, I left your mic open. So if you want to jump back in, you can jump in at any time. In fact, before I get started on the next segment, why don't you go ahead and give us a shout-out about your show, which comes on Saturday.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you. My show is Legacy of a Nation, and my co-host Sunten Fatu and I are on from 6 to 7 p.m. every Saturday, rain, shine, sleet, or snow, and we cover over the month we cover four main topics, and the main topics that we cover are: one, health. We talk about how to get and maintain health, and topic number two is history. We talk about where did we come from, how did we get here, who brought us, and and why are we here? And number three is politics. Who makes the laws? Who has to obey them? What happens to those who don't obey the laws? Number four is economics. We talk about economics from the standpoint of economics being defined as having others work and pay you all the to someone else.
You're breaking up a little bit, Matt.
Okay, I may have had the phone a little too close to my mouth. I hope that, as we define it, is having others working and paying you rather than you working and paying others. And so the mission of Legacy of a Nation is to increase the awareness of the Aboriginal community, and we, the Aboriginal community, as we who are descended of slaves. And thank you, Brother Elohim. But
question
to call is at 6.
That's what we're here for. We're here to give back to those who are given to us, you know. And now let's talk about that health. Now, you know, my Bible from birth, so when I talk about health, I go right to the book because we don't know how to read the book, you know. And you know, people walk around talking about, oh, I'm a vegan. Oh, I'm a vegetarian. You know, like all this is new stuff. But in Genesis 1:29, it says, you know, I give you herbs and seed-bearing fruit and plants for meat. See, we're not supposed to be eating flesh. We're supposed to be eating meat as prescribed in the book. You know what I'm saying? And when you hear, oh, they just following the book that you throwing in the trash, thinking it ain't no good. You know what I mean? So your health is supposed to be a lot healthier than what you are. What the 1% has done, they start calling flesh meat so that you can't figure out what you're doing. Because in the book it says you're not supposed to give up meat. And they use that to tell the people that we have that little barbecue pork and chicken and stuff, you know. But that's not meat according to the book. That's flesh. What you're not supposed to be eating is flesh. So those of you who are following the book and understood the book, right, you wouldn't be eating flesh. You wouldn't be having the chicken and the fish and all that stuff piled up on your plate, giving you cancer. You know what I mean? You'd be eating that old greasy fried food. You would be very healthy. Your skin would be healthy. Everything would be nice if you were following the book. And that's the problem. The administrators of the churches, I'm just going to say it, aren't teaching the people properly on how to read the book. They don't know that the story of Abraham was all about building a military force. You know what I'm saying? You know, he had all them people, they had to eat. How were they eating? You know what I mean? They had, you know, they had a place to live. They had to have shelter. Where did they go? This is all related to Abraham. You know what I'm saying? And when we get into the monks and they're talking about, well, yeah, the monks are vegetarians, you know, well, non-eating flesh had been prescribed for the reap what you sow people forever. Forever. And the only time that they were dealing with the flesh back in the day when they were killing something to sacrifice to God. It wasn't about them eating God's food. They were killing something to sacrifice to God. But once everything broke down, we start eating flesh. And more and more and more flesh. It's got to the point that in some cultures, in some countries, most of the meal was centered around the meat, not around the vegetables. We're centered. See the programming? Right away, I'm calling flesh meat because of the programming. The programming is intense. You be doing things automatically. You don't even know why you're doing it. The programming is powerful. When they program that brain, it's like a computer. When they put that software in the computer, it only does what the software tells it to do. And when that brain is programmed, even though information is coming in from your mind, that computer you call the brain only does what the program tells it to do. You'd be watching a movie, and all of a sudden you say, oh, you know, I would like to have some of that. They done programmed you, so as soon as you see it, you get cravings and you get hunger for it, you know? And if you watch television, internet, movies, whatever you're watching, everybody seems to be drinking. You know what I mean? Soon they have a problem, they run to the bottle. Like the bottle's going to solve all their problems. Oh, I need a drink. You know? I'm watching Scandal. The guy, he done murdered somebody, and he said, well, I had a drink. I just found out my wife was cheating on me, and I just murdered a guy. I think that warrants a drink. Why does that warrant you having a drink? You know what I'm saying? It's part of the programming. They want drinking kills brain cells. It destroys the brain. I don't care if you got one drink. It's affecting your brain cells, okay? I said, well, I drink modestly. You need to stop drinking, period. You know what I mean? Well, they say a little wine helps. They tell you a lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Poison. It's poison. All of the alcoholic substances that you're consuming is poison. Wine turns the poison. I mean, juice, grape juice turns the poison, and they call it wine. But it's poison. I'm just saying it is poison. You know what I mean? Well, you know, I mean, I used to drink. I had my favorite, Bourbon Supreme. Back in the day when I was growing up, everything was about the wine. White port, lemon juice, and Taylor's port. And man, they had some of the fanciest names for the wine. And boy, half of us was winos sitting on the corner, couldn't do nothing but go to work, make that little bit of money, and go home. And spend it all up so that the 1% can make the profit that they wanted to make and send their children to private school so that they can run their businesses. That's what was going on, you know? Everybody can't be IBM, according to the 1%. And they want to make sure that they limit people from trying to get there because, as far as they're concerned, there ain't enough room at the top for everybody. So they don't want everybody up there. And they have to guarantee that somebody works at McDonald's, somebody works at Geno's. They guarantee these people workers, you know, because if they have workers, then the stuff that the 1% sell, them Lamborghinis and all that, somebody got to make enough money to buy them so that the 1% can live the way that they live. So they have a pretty nice system set up, but you got to understand what's going on. You have to see what's going on and know how to break the cycle. The best way to break the cycle is to first purify your system. Genesis 1:29, go read it for yourself. It's in there. I give you herbs and seed-bearing plants for meat. That's what's going on, you know? And I've also discovered that you need 82 to 90 nutrients in the body at the same time when you eat, not on a 3-meal-a-day basis, okay? When you sit down and you have that meal, all of the nutrients that you need supposed to be in that meal. Bacon and eggs is not going to cut it. That's too much protein for one doggone setting. The body only needs 23 grams of protein. That's a scoop of tuna fish all day long. That's all the protein you need for the whole day. That's what I'm saying. And you're getting bacon and eggs in the morning, and then you get some turkey sandwiches in the afternoon, then you get a big old 8-ounce steak in the evening, you know. Cancer is a protein derivative. That's what's producing the cancer, because the body produces things to eliminate the excess protein. See what I'm saying? Your flesh is protein. So when it starts eating on excess protein, it begins to eat beyond excess protein and start eating your flesh. That's what cancer does. Eat your life from the inside out. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, drop information out there. Now, you're supposed to be eating to create the, well, not to create, but to make the perfect cell. That's why you're supposed to be eating, all right? which means that the body, your stomach is like an oven, right? And it cooks and processes the food you put in to create that perfect cell, to make that perfect cell. But if it don't have all the ingredients, it's like a cake. If you put a cake in the oven and you don't have enough baking soda in there or baking powder in there, that cake ain't gonna rise. It ain't gonna do like it's supposed to. If you don't have enough flour in there, it ain't gonna just gonna be too liquidy. It ain't gonna do like it's supposed to. You have to have all the necessary ingredients as a recipe to make the perfect cell. And that's what the body is looking for when you consume that food. This while in the morning, after eat that bacon and eggs, you need that cup of coffee. You need something to give you a little energy to get up, because you ain't getting it from the bacon and eggs, because they have a tendency to drain them, to put a drain on your energy, not increase the energy. Do some studying. Look it up. The different nutrients work together to produce that cell. Next health day, I'm going to read all the stuff off to you. That's what I normally do, but I don't want to get into that today. I just wanted to just drop the information out there that you need to think in terms of making the perfect cell when you eat. And you'd be surprised at what it would do to your system when you're putting the proper food in there. You can eat three times a day, but have the proper vegetables there when you eat three times a day if you want to eat. Me, now this is what I have. I get up in the morning, right? Okay. And what I have is, this is about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. That's when I consume my meal. I have a cup of broccoli, a cup of string beans, a cup of collard greens. A collard greens are powerful vegetable. I'm going to tell you how to cook them before you run out of time. I have my my collard greens. I have my, broccoli, string beans, collard greens, Brussels sprouts, and broccoli. That's my meal. Now, my eyes have been a little off, so I've added a couple of sweet potatoes. I don't normally eat sweet potatoes, but I wanted the extra bit of carotene to help my eyes, because my eyes, I've been watching a lot of laptops and studying and internet and all that. I can't shut it down right now because I have a lot of work to do. So I have to increase the beta carotene to help my eyes out a little better so I can see where I'm going. There's some other stuff I can do that'll help your eyes. Maybe one day on our Brother Max show, he'll get into it, stuff that you can have that will help your eyesight. You know, it had stuff called a miracle, I forget what it's called, but it's a miracle something. And I'll talk about that one day on the show too. Next, we've only got about 2 minutes. I'm almost out of time here. But those five vegetables, before we leave, collard greens. While a lot of people say don't eat collard greens, the collard greens, the density of the molecular structure of a collard green is so dense, even boiling it, don't break it apart so that the body digests it easily, right? What you have to do with the collard greens, you have to put it in a pressure cooker. Pressure cook the collard greens, okay? That will break the molecular structure of the collard greens apart. And when you taste a piece of collard greens coming out of that pressure cooker, you see how tender it is. That collard green is so tender, it's just amazing, you know? But that's how you cook the collard greens. You can't boil in it. It's not enough because the molecular structure is so dense. And that collard green is a powerful vegetable. Google, look up what's in it. You know, collard green, the herbologists, when they were when they had us as slaves back in the day, that's why we're eating the collard greens. So the collard greens are classified as a weed. And the 1%ers, they weren't eating weeds. But the herbologists, they knew every herb on the planet. You know, this is what the ones they were calling the witch doctors. They weren't witch doctors. They were herbologists. Sometimes they studied 25 years before they had their first patient. I'm talking about in Africa. These so-called witch doctors, because there's a spiritual component to health as well as a physical component, which is what they're not teaching on. They're not teaching on the spiritual aspect, only on the physical aspect. We only got about 30 seconds here. That's why I'm talking so fast. But before I get off, I'd like to thank everybody that called in. I appreciate it. Even though you hit one, that's fine. I know you're there. I can see your numbers, and I appreciate it. And we'll be here every Sunday at between 7 and 8, barring nothing goes wrong. So far, everything's working pretty good right now. So we'll be here every Sunday between 7 and 8. And this is Elohim Speak. Call in number 516-453-9230. You can also catch us on internet on the Blog Talk Radio, and we're going to listen to shows, about 80 or 90 shows out there, so you're going to listen to all the shows from that I've done, okay? Well, we're actually out of time, so thank you very much. This is Elohim Speaks, your host, and Brother Mac, thank you very much for the shout-out that you gave. And I love you guys, and I look forward to talking to you next week. Much love.
Much love, my brother.